15 days to Brexit and the uncertainty has only increased. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The result of the British Parliament rejecting Prime Minister Theresa May's withdrawal deal again last night means there are at least 7 possible Brexit outcomes. In other words, more uncertainty. The clock is ticking and British businesses are still worried. Rowan Crozier is chief executive of C. Brandauer & Company in Birmingham. They make a tea kettle component that travels from Germany to the UK, back to Europe, the UK again, to China for assembly, and then the UK to be sold. Barriers could wreck that supply chain.
I was hoping we'd get some certainties. We're planning for worst case, and at the moment, worst case isn't too bad for us. Some of the tariffs that we would import that against currently have zero tariff on them, and they should have that if we go to WTO rules. However, things can change. It very much depends on what both the EU and the UK do as a result of whatever might happen in a few weeks' time.
Rowan Crozier. Well, while Parliament votes today on whether to take a no deal off the table, legally, no deal remains the default scenario if Britain and the EU have no exit plan in place by March 29th. In fact, the EU's chief Brexit negotiator warned minutes ago the risk of an accidental no deal has never been higher. So this morning, the British government released information on tariffs in case of a no deal. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains.
There is now an increased possibility of Britain leaving without any kind of deal at all, which means that the government would then be suddenly in the position of having to set its own British trade policy. And because we're only 2 weeks or so away, those decisions on exactly what tariffs, for example, to apply to goods coming in from outside the UK have to be taken very, very quickly.
So what kinds of things has the government said this morning?
They would not be applying tariffs that are higher than what the EU currently applies. In many cases, the tariffs are going to be eliminated altogether. Some will be retained, particularly agriculture. We are retaining quite high tariffs on lamb, beef, although they are somewhat reduced in the case of beef. And then there are a couple of industrial areas where there will be some tariffs retained. Cars and some types of ceramics, so tableware, building tiles, and some types of clothing. But I would emphasise that at this stage, this is a rather hypothetical situation we're describing that comes into effect only if Britain does leave without any kind of agreement with the EU.
Andrew Walker. So at the moment, a lot of possibilities, including new elections or a second referendum. Swati Dhingra is a lecturer at the London School of Economics. She says the data shows all scenarios, apart from staying in the EU, spell trouble.
So 50% of UK trade is with the European Union, and also 50% of the foreign investment coming into the UK is from the European Union. Making up for the loss of trade that would happen after trade barriers, you know, they don't have to go up very much. Even if they go up some, what we'll see is a reduction in trade and therefore a reduction in economic activity in the UK. One of the things we've already seen since the referendum is that uncertainty, economic uncertainty has generally gone up. If you look at all of the surveys that are coming out from businesses, they're more constrained in terms of what they can plan, and they have to plan for all sorts of eventualities. Another sort of repercussion that's already happened is that with the sterling plummeting the way it did right after the referendum, businesses are already starting to cut back on things like wages of workers. So industries that are much more exposed to import costs, they're the ones who've seen cutbacks in wages, cutbacks in training for workers. And already in an environment where workers are suffering, this is just adding to that stress.
Swati Dhingra there. Let's do the numbers. The British pound is steady as investors wait for more clarity. The currency is well off its January lows, but still solidly lower against the dollar and the euro. Meanwhile, European shares are mixed. The UK's FTSE 100 trading slightly lower. Iran and Iraq fought an 8-year war in the 1980s, a war so bitter it was compared to World War I in terms of the trench warfare, the bayonet charges, and the use of chemical weapons. An estimated 1 million people died. Yet this week, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani has been exploring ways to boost trade with Iraq. Eli Gerenmaye, Deputy Director of the Middle East and North Africa Program at the European Council on Foreign Relations, calls progress over the last decade between the two sides remarkable.
This is the first visit by Iran's sitting president, and there's a lot of ambition and hope that some big trade deals can be agreed.
When it comes to trade, how much interdependence is there? Because I know that for Iraq, which is still emerging from a lot of conflict and instability, they get a lot of their oil, natural gas, food, farming products from Iran.
That's true. I mean, Iraq is a very wealthy nation and in some ways is a competitor to Iran in the energy sector. Yet, because of the conflict-ridden situation in Iraq, Iraq, as you say, is dependent on goods from Iran. And a particular issue of note is the degree to which Iran exports electricity to Iraq. And this is an area, again, where the U.S. has tried to exert some pressure for that dependency to be reduced, but it works both ways. And since the U.S. reimposed its sanctions on Iran in November, Iraq has steadily become one of Iran's top trading partners, and Iran is hoping to actually solidify and extend the trade relationship. A lot of Iranian money actually sits in Iraq and vice versa, and so the two sides need to come up with a solution that will overcome the hurdles that have been created by U.S. sanctions since November.
So at the end of the day, how much of a roadblock are U.S. sanctions on Iran and U.S. influence over Iraq going to be to these growing trade relations?
The new administration wants Iraq to reduce its dependency on Iranian trade and electricity and reduce its political relations. Now, that really doesn't reflect the reality on the ground, particularly over the last few years through the course of security cooperation between Iran and Iraq in the fight against ISIS. There has been an increased Iranian presence, increased Iranian influence across different political security factions.
Eli Garanmaye. Finally, my colleague Kai Rizdal is headed this way for Brexit. If you've got a question, head over to marketplace.org or tweet me at BBC Anu Anand. In London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.